One day this summer, the FBI shows up unannounced at a home in Virginia. It's barely dawn, and they don't knock. The agents just pick the lock of the front door. And they step inside while the owner is still sleeping.
They're at the home of Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's former campaign chairman. You know this guy. The guy who stepped in to be the adult in the room. The guy who was hired to turn around a campaign in chaos.
Manafort imposed discipline in the campaign, he kept Trump on message, and he helped secure the Republican nomination for Trump.
The feds present their search warrant, and for a bit, they follow the playbook. Agents grabbing binders filled with documents, making copies of computer files.
And to understand what they do next, you have to know something about the kind of business Manafort is in. Paul Manafort is a political consultant. He specializes in what they call optics, how things look. He's a master of the image makeover, a guy who can reinvent a politician, you know, make them talk right, act right, look right.
So the FBI is doing its typical FBI raid stuff. And then they do something that I had not heard of before. They take photographs of some suits in a closet.
Those suits are evidence. Evidence of Paul Manafort's extremely expensive taste. You see, Manafort doesn't just cultivate the image of politicians. He carefully cultivates his own image, too.
We're talking finely tailored, very subtle, very good suits.
And the government is going to use his expensive lifestyle to help build a case against him. Special Counsel Robert Mueller will end up accusing Manafort of secretly moving tens of millions of dollars all around the globe in an illegal scheme that lasted more than a decade.
Even while he was managing the campaign of Donald Trump.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Elsa Chang. And today we're joined by two reporters, two of my very good friends from where I used to work, WNYC in New York. And they have been following Manafort's money for months.
Hey, I'm Ilya Meritz. I cover real estate and business.
I'm Andrea Bernstein. I cover politics and powerful people. Today on the show, the three of us are going to tell a story about an alleged scheme to pull tens of millions of dollars out of one of the most corrupt places on earth and stash that money in a nice neighborhood in Brooklyn.
We're going to take apart a money laundering scheme that spanned continents.
The anatomy of a hustle. And to really get it, we talked to a real-life money launderer.
You know, he did everything he shouldn't have done. You know, it's like, wow, he's got all these documentation at his house, which is another thing. You don't keep documents at your house.
Color commentary from a convicted felon.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Delta Airlines, committed to constantly improving every aspect of the travel experience, including your ability to stay connected while in flight. With free messaging on Delta, you have no reason to stop the conversations you're having on the ground when you get in the clouds.
Paul Manafort grew up around campaigns and elections. His dad was actually the mayor of New Britain, Connecticut. And Paul Manafort Jr. liked politics from a really early age. And he started working on campaigns back in the 1970s. He worked on every Republican political campaign that mattered.
And then Manafort had a realization. He was getting really close to powerful people. Politicians were starting to really trust him. And Manafort's looking at all this goodwill that he's building, and he's thinking, what can I do with all of this? The answer? Sell it.
And he does start selling it. He sells all this access he's gained through working on these Republican campaigns at a high level to foreign strongmen.
We're talking about people like Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos, Angolan guerrilla leader Jonas Savimbi, Zaire autocrat Mobutu Sese Seko.
These were people who were accused in their own country of murder and torture, and they signed up Paul Manafort to be their advisor. And one of the most important parts of his job was to make them look better in Washington.
Then in 2006, he gets a new client.
Дитячі долоні будуть в надійних руках.
Віктор Янукович.
Віктор Янукович. He was a Putin ally. He wants to be the next leader of Ukraine. And also, he's just lost an election where his opponent mysteriously fell ill.
Austrian doctors said today that Ukraine's presidential candidate was poisoned with dioxin.
This is the point at which he turns to Paul Manafort.
And if you're looking to make a lot of money really quickly, Ukraine could be the place for you. It's a weak state. Power is shared between corrupt politicians and competitive oligarchs. It's a place where people will look the other way.
So Manafort sets up shop in Kiev, and he starts supplying his touch to Viktor Yanukovych. So Yanukovych starts to comb his hair better. His team starts wearing makeup and Hugo Boss suits during TV interviews. And then Yanukovych goes on the road. He comes to Washington. Remember, he's a Putin ally, but in Washington, his message is pro-Western.
There can never be too much democracy in Ukraine, just as there cannot be too much freedom.
So on message.
That is what the indictment says Manafort was doing, that he was working to improve Yanukovych's image in Washington, but that he didn't register as a foreign lobbyist, which is a crime. But on top of that, the indictment says, not only did Manafort not register, but took active steps to conceal the fact that he was actually the lobbyist for Yanukovych.
Okay, so that's one of the things the feds are accusing Manafort of hiding, that he was lobbying for a foreign leader. But there's something else prosecutors are accusing him of hiding.
Yeah, they're accusing him of hiding money and more money and even more money. The government says Viktor Yanukovych kept paying Paul Manafort over all these years until the money swelled up to $75 million, all off the books, just piling up in accounts here. Put a pin in this place.
There is an island in the Mediterranean where prosperity is a way of life.
Cyprus, known for its beautiful beaches, decades-long unresolved international conflicts, and also a banking system that doesn't ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, at the time, banks in Cyprus were a really popular place for Russians to stash their money.
When Cyprus became a member of the EU, opportunities grew for investors in a country with low taxation and an expanding economy.
The government says Manafort opens up a bunch of bank accounts in Cyprus, not under his own name, but under the names of different shell companies. And for now, the money is out of view in Cyprus, but this is not where Manafort lives. He has houses in New York, Florida, Virginia, these really expensive places. And, you know, Manafort probably wants to spend some of his money there.
Manafort can't just wire the money home without being noticed. If a bank sees more than $10,000 moving into the system, they have to report it. Banks have a lot of rules to follow. But he does get the money in. And how he gets the money in makes for very interesting reading. I have the indictment right here. What do we got here? Payments relating to three Range Rovers, $163,000.
Or look at this one here. He wires $1 million to an antique rug store in Virginia.
Also, rugs are very expensive.
But $1 million?
He also drops $500,000 at a clothing store in Beverly Hills. The Associated Press, they did the detective work. I love this. His emporium of choice, the House of Bijan, where ties go for $1,000 apiece.
Good afternoon, Bijan. How can I help you?
Is this the House of Bijan on Rodeo Drive?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Are you really the most expensive store in the world? Is that just like a nickname?
No, this is not a nickname. We are.
You are really the most expensive store in the world?
Yes, we are.
All right. This man is spending money fast, according to the government. But there is still a lot of money left on Cyprus. Remember, he stashed $75 million in this very safe island.
But then in 2012, something happened in Cyprus that made it a less desirable place to have an overseas bank account.
A financial crisis, a pretty bad one. Cyprus gets a bailout. But one of the conditions of this bailout is a lot more scrutiny of foreign bank accounts.
Suddenly, the island doesn't look like necessarily the best place to park your money. And right around this time, prosecutors say Manafort starts moving his money to the U.S. in bigger and bigger chunks. And that brings us to your neighborhood, Andrea.
Not technically, but close by. Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn.
I feel like I'm in the Sesame Street version of Brooklyn. I mean, it's sunny, it's glistening, there's, you know, falls here, so I see yellow leaves. I'm walking through a tunnel of trees.
We're now on Union Street. It is a nice block. There is a row of brownstone houses. Most of them have really pretty gardens out front. There are potted plants squatting on the windowsills.
We got 371A, 373, 375.
Getting close.
37. Wait a minute. There are no numbers on this house.
We assume it's 377. The address has been scraped off the facade. There's dirt out front. There's butcher paper covering the windows.
It looks like a renovation.
Should we knock on the door and see if we can step inside?
Sure, why not?
Let's do it.
I feel nervous.
It's not locked.
Hello? Can we take a look?
Not sure that's a good idea.
What
actually,
did he say?
He says he's not sure it's a good idea. That didn't sound like an explicit, absolute no, though.
I don't think it's a good idea. This house is now evidence in a federal criminal case.
This brownstone?
This brownstone.
It's so nondescript. Like, the way I think of money laundering, like, properties that are used in these huge schemes are these gleaming towers with, like, Central Park views. Not some nondescript brownstone in Carroll Gardens.
Yeah, well, you had good taste.
This house seems like a normal house, but there is nothing normal about the way it was purchased. Prosecutors say this house is how Manafort moved millions out of Cyprus and into the U.S. And this is how they say he did it. So first, a shell company that he controls in Cyprus buys this house for another shell company that he controls in Brooklyn for $3 million, all cash. So that's how the money gets to this country. Then, 3 years later, Manafort takes out a loan on this house for $5 million. According to the indictment, what he's now done is he's now taken the dirty money from Yanukovych and turned it into clean money from an American bank.
So if you believe the government's story, that is money laundering.
Right. And remember, the timing is important here. We're talking February of 2016.
And this very same month, Paul Manafort sees an opportunity, a work opportunity, to work for the Republican frontrunner in the race for president, Donald J. Trump. Manafort writes a memo to Trump, and the first thing he offers at the very top of this memo is to work for free.
Which is so strange. But Donald Trump loves a deal. He says yes. Remember, at this point, even though Trump is leading, his campaign is in chaos. So even though people know about Manafort's foreign clients, in Washington, he's seen as someone that people can do business with. They know him. So you can almost hear the relief when he comes on the scene.
The chairman of the Trump campaign, the head coach, if you will, Paul Manafort. Mr. Manafort, welcome back to the show, sir.
Paul Manafort.
Thank you, Chuck.
Paul, thank you for coming on. You are the man, and I just want to ask you about Trump. How are you getting along with him?
Along great.
So Manafort comes in. Trump gets all the delegates he needs.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
16 other candidates have dropped out. Trump marches to the convention. He gets the nomination. He gets a convention bounce. He's doing well. And Manafort has brought him to this place.
Which is why I alone can fix it.
So a few weeks after the convention, these stories start surfacing about Manafort, about how he's earned millions of dollars from a leader in Ukraine and never reported the income. And this mysterious ledger turns up out of nowhere in Kiev. It has all these Cyrillic scribblings in it detailing $12 million of payments to Manafort.
So Manafort says he did nothing wrong in Ukraine. But the election is now getting really close, so Manafort doesn't want to draw negative attention. He leaves the campaign.
Well, I mean, the media was covering, you know, charges which after the election were proven to be false.
You're not currently under investigation.
I'm not.
And the
government.
Actually, Manafort was being investigated, as we all know now. I mean, the FBI had been zeroing in on those foreign payments. Then special counsel Robert Mueller enters the scene. He accelerates the investigation. There's that raid of Manafort's house in Virginia in July of this year. And then in October, the feds slap him with a 12-count indictment.
Really fast. Count one, conspiracy against the United States. Count two, conspiracy to launder money. Counts three through six, failure to file reports of foreign bank and financial accounts. 12 counts in all. Manafort faces more than 15 years in prison.
Now, Manafort, his spokesman, and his lawyer, Kevin Downing, they all declined an interview request. Manafort has pleaded not guilty. And in a written statement, his team says that Manafort, quote, looks forward to having the allegations tried before a judge and jury.
So his lawyer says there's no crime in having a foreign bank account, and that even if his client didn't register as a foreign lobbyist, what they say is no one gets prosecuted for that. Now there is a gag order in the case. But before the order came down, there was a court appearance and Kevin Downing spoke to reporters. And the first thing out of his mouth had nothing to do with money laundering.
Well, I think you all saw today that President Donald Trump was correct. There is no evidence that Mr. Manafort or the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government.
It is true. This indictment focuses all on Ukrainian money, and the only mention of Russia is when the feds say Manafort had an office there. But for those of us who are reading this indictment super closely, there is the name of a shell company that Manafort used to buy his apartment in Trump Tower. Number 43G, not too far below Donald Trump's penthouse. We know from our reporting that Manafort has done the same thing with the Trump Tower apartment that he did with the Soho condo and the Brooklyn townhouse. Namely, he buys it for all cash, he holds on to it for a while, he transfers it to his own name, and then he takes a loan out on it.
Yeah, that's the same pattern outlined in the indictment. That is how prosecutors describe part of Manafort's alleged money laundering scheme.
To be clear, we don't know where the money came from for the Trump Tower apartment. And Manafort says everything is legit with those transactions. But he told us the same thing last winter about that Brooklyn brownstone, and now it's in a federal indictment.
All right, after the break, we're going to talk to a professional money launderer about how to not get caught.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Delta Airlines, committed to constantly improving every aspect of the travel experience, including your ability to stay connected while in flight. With free messaging on Delta, you have no reason to stop the conversations you're having on the ground when you get in the clouds.
So we were curious. If you look at this whole alleged money laundering scheme, Ukraine, Cyprus, the suits, the houses, all of it, was it even a good scheme?
We wanted to review every step, and I tracked down kind of an expert. His name is Humberto Juan Aguilar. Well, now that you're now that you've served your time, do you want to tell me how much you laundered?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it's over 100 million. It could be over 200 million. It's a lot of money. Okay? Because it became a full-time job.
Back in the 1980s in Miami, Humberto was a lawyer who did a lot of work for people in the narcotics industry.
Coke is a very lucrative business.
Very lucrative, but it's a cash business. So these guys had all this cash just lying around in storage lockers, and it was piling up. And Humberto found a way to get the money out of the country and then back into the U.S. in secret.
For a little while.
Well, okay, yeah. He did serve 7 years in prison for all of this.
Anyway, we wanted this guy's take on the Manafort indictment. And remember, he's a lawyer, a mastermind of his own money laundering schemes. He devoured the indictment.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me, what were your first thoughts as you were looking through this indictment?
How stupid can you be?
Humberto says Manafort's first mistake.
He hid the money well, but then he makes it quite open by buying things in the United States.
And another mistake? When Humberto was laundering money, he created shell companies within shell companies within shell companies. It made the money harder to trace. He says looking at this indictment, it doesn't seem like Manafort did that.
It is bewildering. It's like you committed a perfect crime. You got paid a lot of money, which you didn't declare. That's your crime. Now, keep hiding it for the rest of your life and you'll be okay. You know, shelter it. Do something. Buy property in the United States. Not under your name, moron. And don't act as if it's your property, because people say, it's your property.
One more error. Humberto says Manafort just bought too much stuff. His taste was too fancy. Why draw attention to yourself?
But it's not stupidity. It's hubris. And it's like, I can do anything I want.
Moral of the story? If you're going to do something sketchy, maybe just keep a low profile. Do you know of a money laundering story that you think we should report on? Let us know. Send us an email at planetmoney@npr.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. I'm at Elsa Chang.
I'm at Ilya Meritz. And Andrea is at Andrea WNYC.
Today's show was produced by Nick Fountain. Thank you, Nick. Special thanks to former prosecutor Jamie Nowaday for patiently explaining money laundering to all of us. Planet Money's supervising producer is Alex Goldmark. Our editor is Brian Erdstadt. And if you're looking for something else to listen to, check out the NPR Politics podcast. It's hosted by my great colleagues Scott Detrow and Tamara Keith, and it's just a really fun way to keep track of all the craziness that's happening in Washington. You can find it at npr.org/podcasts, the NPR One app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Elsa Chang.
I'm Ilya Marritz.
And I'm Andrea Bernstein. Thanks for listening.
Do you think those guys that we saw in there know that they're working on Paul Manafort?
Yes.
Yes.
I feel like there's been a ton of media. The neighbors have been here. They put a pumpkin carved with Bob Mueller's face here on
Really?
Halloween.
How accurate was the depiction?
Really good.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
They're hung a Russian flag here. Like the neighbors, they don't toilet paper houses here in Carroll Gardens. They're, like, way more sophisticated than that. They have, like, really artsy critiques of, like, the bad stuff that they think happened here.